Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
We've been fighting very hard that any bailout fund, money to industries that have trouble, have real oversight and transparency. That's vitally important. We cannot have a situation where when a company is getting money from the Treasury, Federal Reserve, that we don't know about it. And we've been pushing hard that any contract that the federal government makes with a company to give it loans, that we know of that contract in a very short period of time, that we can examine it. We in the Senate, those in the House, the press, and the American public will see if these things are on the level, because we all know there was a load of dissatisfaction with TARP.
So that's Chuck Schumer speaking about the stimulus package as they have come to an agreement on this. It seems as though Steve Mnuchin and the senators last night, it was probably, I don't know, 12:30 or so. I was working on setting up this home studio of mine last night till 3:30 in the morning. So if you're watching on the Facebook Live, facebook.com/AnnieFrysh right now, you saw somebody, my husband, pouring coffee into my Urgent Specialist's coffee mug here from just his hand, comes into the screen and pours me some coffee. We are broadcasting live here from my house. I'm here at home in my basement, and Katie is in the studio. Ryan Wiggins, we're going to work him in here. We're just kind of going day by day and adding in all of the different elements. So very grateful that you're here with us. Thank you for watching on Facebook. Stream us live at radio.com, and you can stream us on your smart speakers. It's a great way to have some community in a very strange time. Let's get to our guest now, DeRoy Murdoch, a Fox News contributor, also a member of Project 21, joining us now. DeRoy, thank you so much for giving us some time today. It's great to speak with you.
Annie, pleasure to talk to you and your listeners. As you say, a very strange time.
Very strange. Yeah, I've never spoken to you from my basement before. So we are trying new things, and we are making, you know, I'm looking at the way a lot of Americans are adapting in this process, and there's a lot of positivity in the way that people are working together and working to help one another. We have small businesses that are at the edge of their seat. They're not in panic mode yet, but they're bracing for panic mode. They're talking to the banks. They are scared. The Senate is trying to get a deal together that is going to help them. But a lot of us common folks, I put myself in that category, don't know what this is going to look like, and also don't know what the cost is going to be down the road. What do you feel about what the Senate put together last night and the direction that this stimulus, bailout, whatever you want to call it, where it's headed?
Well, I think a lot of us share your lack of information. I think the final draft of the text just came out. Somebody emailed me something about 10 minutes ago. Apparently there's a provision in it that Senators Tim Scott and I think Lindsey Graham, I forget a third one, they're holding a press conference any minute now. Apparently their concern is that it provides an incentive for people to get laid off and go on unemployment rather than keep working. They're going to try to get that knocked out. I think that generally with these measures of this sort, what I want to see is things like backstop. They basically call it backstops, not bailouts. If the government's going to get involved, it should be things like loans that are paid back, loan guarantees, backstops, as opposed to shelling out cash like we saw done so extravagantly back in 07, 08, during the 09, during the big financial meltdown. You even had something egregious you wouldn't expect to see under a Republican president, which G.W. Bush did, which is full nationalization of companies. I mean, when I saw that going on, my jaw was just on the floor for weeks. I don't see anything like that, which is great. So, you know, this is not exactly free market ideal, but I also don't think it's anywhere as big government as what we saw back in 07, 08. So I think that's generally a step forward.
When you are considering the difference between the bailouts in 08 and what we are dealing with right now, how much does the cause of each of those different circumstances affect your or other, you know, fiscally conservative, responsible brains looking at this and saying, you know, this is a virus that has put many, all working Americans in some sort of peril, and it came like a ton of bricks. It wasn't a series of decisions that people made, potentially very poor decisions that were made, and a system that was set up to collapse like it was in 2008. This virus is a very different scenario that the response to it. I worry when we talk about this reaction in 2008 that people in 6 months, maybe in the election time, are going to talk about, oh, you know, the fiscally conservative Republicans were okay with bailouts in March and April, and they weren't okay with them in 2008. Like, there's a big difference in what we are dealing with here.
I think that's a very, very crucial point. I think that back in 07, 08, you had a lot of people who were taking out mortgages that they couldn't pay back. You had lenders lending money to people who were unable to pay their loans. You had people building houses like crazy. You had the Federal Reserve pumping out money like mad. You had a lot of really reckless, insane decisions. Then a lot of people, banks took these various mortgages, wrapped them up in these collateralized debt obligations, other elaborate securities, and sold those off to Deutsche Bank and Sumitomo Bank in Japan. And pretty soon you don't know who your landlord is. I mean, is it the bank down the street? Is it a bank in Frankfurt? Is it a bank in Tokyo? And then when the whole, you know, McMansion of cards collapsed, everyone's looking at each other saying, okay, who owes whom what? And then, of course, Uncle Sam rides to the rescue with all this bailout money, gives people free cash, pumps money to banks, nationalizes all these various companies. It was just a disaster, and it was really a result of moral hazard. People engage in behavior they shouldn't have, and it was basically capitalism on the way up and socialism on the way down. This is a totally different scenario. 4 or 5 weeks ago, all of us were minding our business, enjoying this thriving economy, starting companies, expanding enterprises, going to work, getting off employment, getting jobs, doing everything we're supposed to do. And then, boom, all of a sudden, this pile of germs fall out of our head, out of the sky, mainly basically coming out of Wuhan, China. Nobody saw that coming. It's not the fault of anybody involved in this. This really is, in a sense, like almost like a giant economic earthquake with you know, invisible fault lines causing it. And so I don't think there's really a moral ethical problem with the effort of trying to bail people out in an emergency through which happened of no fault of their own, any more than an earthquake, a hurricane, tornado, something like that. I do think that said that there are ways you can do this that make more sense and ways you can do it that make less sense. And I hope we lean much more towards the latter than the former rather than the latter.
Mm-hmm, for sure. I agree with that. DeRoy Murdoch, a Fox News contributor, member of Project 21, joining us right now. We could have probably had a deal maybe a couple of days ago. There was a blip in that. We call that blip Nancy Pelosi, I suppose.
Yeah.
And we watched as she decided, you know, the thing that just really blows my mind is that the changing of the winds for Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats had something to do with how many Republicans were available to vote in the Senate, which means if it was, because I see that as if it was good for the American people, it's good for the American people. It can't be something that we're going to try to slip in when there aren't, is when five Republican senators or whatever are missing, because then you're not doing what's best for the American people. You're doing what's best for Democrats, Democrats who are in office in an election year. This is a tragedy for this country. What's your reaction to Nancy Pelosi's actions, the deal that has come up, that they've come to an agreement upon right now, and where politically Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats who stood by her are positioned now in the wake of pretty much falling flat on their face?
Yeah, you know, I keep hearing, you know, we're all in this together, you know, let's avoid the partisanship, we're all in this, you know, rocky ship together, etc. Boy, that somebody please send that message to Nancy Pelosi. What she engaged in with that 1400 page bill that suddenly popped up over the weekend, you know, the House version of the bailout, of the rescue package, whatever you want to call it, I describe as vote gouging. You know, we've heard about price gouging and people who take advantage of this national emergency to charge, you know, $70 and $80 for a $4 or $5 bottle of Purell, and that people get very upset about people taking advantage of people's dire circumstances. Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats did the same thing, only I call it vote gouging. You know, it's a difficult situation. It's a national emergency. They're, I think, three or four U.S. senators, maybe five, who are self-quarantined because of COVID-19. And they decide, rather than, okay, let's help out, let's do our part, let's pitch in and get something out of the president's desk as soon as possible, they decide, okay, let's jack up the price of our votes and demand things such as tax credits for solar energy, tax credits for windmills, special treatment for big labor, emission standards for the airlines, $35 million for the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts, special provisions for demanding early voting, demanding the an end to national to voter ID cards, providing same day registration so people can show up at the polls on election day, never having registered, and say, here I am, I want to vote. None of this has anything whatsoever to do with this awful microbe that's killing people. We're not talking about some little tax measure, whether we help out the Teamsters or we don't help out this industry. We're talking about people dropping dead by the hundreds in this country. And Nancy Pelosi and Democrats decide, gee, that's a really good idea, a really good time to blackmail the country and say, we're going to hold this piece of legislation hostage until they knuckle under to our left-wing agenda. One of the most appalling and disgusting things I've ever seen. And Nancy Pelosi and Democrats should be ashamed of themselves, and they should pay a huge price for this come November.
Do you think that they will? Do you think that the moment in time is going to resound for the next few months as we get out of, hopefully, coronavirus pandemic and in back into election season?
Well, you know, people have short memories, unfortunately. But I hope this is something people remember. And come October, November, if they don't remember, they should be reminded about it. You know, we expect to see people like the Republicans who accepted the bill that came over from the House last week. They made no amendments to it. They voted on it as it was. A lot of people saw things in it they didn't like, but they thought, you know what, it's an emergency. We don't want to slow this thing down at all. Let's vote on it, pass it, put it on President Trump's desk. He signed it. We could have had this legislation on the president's desk on Sunday, if not for Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer playing games. It now looks like the Senate's going to vote on this measure tomorrow. It'll get to the House Friday. That means this entire week has been lost while people lose their jobs. People worry about whether or not they're going to get ventilators. Are they going to get their drugs, et cetera? And if you're sitting there in a hospital with your lungs filling with fluid, 4 or 5 days can mean the difference between life and death. And you have Nancy Pelosi and company playing games like this, demanding money for the Kennedy Center and basically implementing the Green New Deal while we're all worried about microbes. Absolutely astonishing, utterly shocking, totally unacceptable.
For sure. Well, DeRoy Murdoch, it's a pleasure to speak with you. I hope you're well. I am broadcasting from my basement, and this is new for me. I know that you've been making adjustments, as we all have. So stay well, stay healthy, stay to yourself, I guess, and we look forward to speaking with you again next week.
My pleasure. By the way, this is day 11 of my 14-day self-quarantine since I was in London a couple weeks ago. So I feel your pain.
Are you feeling okay? No symptoms?
I feel wonderful. No temperature, no symptoms, anything. But I've been, other than running outside briefly to get some food and supplies, I've been in my apartment nonstop since Friday, March 13th. And it's now the 25th. So that's 12 days straight of being in my apartment. But I've got my phone. I've got my internet. I've got my Netflix. I watch Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is, if anybody wants a nice laugh, watch Curb Your Enthusiasm. Unbelievably hilarious. And I got my music. So
good medicine for coronavirus.
That's all good stuff.
Yeah,
exactly. Yes. Curb the COVID with Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Fantastic. Jeroy, thank you so much for the time. We'll speak to you again next week.
Okay, Annie. Thanks a lot. Be well. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. Be well as well. Fox News contributor and Project 21 member, Jeroy Murdoch. I just enjoy talking to him. I like talking to people who are infinitely smarter than I am.
And he's so calm.
Pretty much most of you. Fantastic. Well, Katie, we're still on the air.
That's still exciting.
I'm still in my basement. I've got the Fighting Irishman over my left shoulder, my Mickey Christmas light over my right shoulder, and we're just doing this thing.
The setup looks good.
That we are still actually live on the air. So rock and roll, I guess. I'm going to take phone calls, 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797. Do we have a couple people holding? Is that what I understand?
Yep. Mm-hmm. We got a
couple
people
on
the line.
All right, Kurt and Daryl, we'll get to you when we return, and if anybody wants to join, 314-241-9797. I haven't taken any phone calls yet, so let's try it. Let's see if we can hit that ball out of the park or fall flat on our face, and, it is what it is. We're doing our very best. You can stream us at radio.com on your smart speaker if you are in your house and you want to put us on your whatever your smart speaker of choice is. So watch us at facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. I think you can potentially project that from your phone to your smart TV as well. So you could just watch the show. Watch me sitting in my basement and Katie sitting in the studio. Lots of fun having all of this set up in a matter of 24 hours has been pretty crazy. But we're gracious that you're here. And we'll be back in just a minute with your phone calls. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Do you know how hard it is to not sing? Because I feel like I'm all by myself right now. It makes it very difficult for me to not be like letting it loose and it's not going to be pretty for you guys. Katie, maybe. Katie, you could maybe sing. You're all by yourself. Nobody can hear you. Just let it go.
That's true. You know what? It's time for me to just...
Black Velvet!
But you know what? You and I are always singing.
Where's Tony Colombo?
I know. Where is he? He needs to bust through the door.
I know.
You and I are always like singing whenever we hear the bumper music. We're always like lip singing and dancing around in here, mostly me. And so it is really difficult for that not to happen right now.
We are streaming at facebook.com/Annie Fry Show, so you can watch us right now. I am legit sitting in my basement, and everything that you can see is nice and neat and tidy, and that's all you need to know about that. And this is all brand new. I was up till 3:30 in the morning trying to set this up, and we managed to get the Facebook Live is as it usually is, except for I am actually on camera from home, and Katie is on camera in the studio. And if something goes awry, and I promise you it will go awry, you're probably going to want to see it and watch it, because I know that I would want to. Nobody can turn away from a train wreck. We haven't had any crashes quite yet, but they will come. And I've heard several people suggest on the comments here, you can chat along with the show as well, that everybody is waiting for my 3-year-old Evelyn's debut. And as I said before, one of her favorite things is to say butt cheeks, and she says it and when she says the word butt cheeks, which I'm calling them out right now. She has three cousins that are all boys, and they're all close in age, and they're boys through and through, as they should be. And I don't know, one of them thought that the phrase butt cheeks was funny. And so she says it, and then she looks at you like she's definitely done something wrong. She knows, but she thinks it's funny. And then because she's my third and not my first, I think it's funny. If it was my first kid, I'd be like, don't you speak in that potty language. And now we're like, okay, it's kind of funny.
The third kid, we always get off.
There's a third.
We always get off on the easy breaks.
Just like you, Katie. Just like you. I'm a middle child, and I got a little chip on my shoulder. And I just got to work through that. I'll manage to get through it at some point. We want to take some phone calls here real quick. We're going to speak with Tim Jones and about, let's see here. Like, for instance, normally I'd look at the clock on the wall, but now I got to look at my watch. In about maybe 12, 15 minutes, Tim Jones is going to join us. I'm going to ask him about the way Missouri is handling the coronavirus situation. And then at 2 o'clock, we'll talk with Adam Schuster of Illinois Policy Institute. We'll talk about how this is going to affect the state of Illinois. So we're going to get both situations covered here in the next 30, 45 minutes or so. But I'd love to get your phone calls and see how you're doing. Daryl's been holding for a while, and so I'm going to get to Daryl's call here first. And if you want to join us, 314-241-9797. Daryl, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show.
Hello, you're welcome.
You are my first caller from my basement. Thank you, Daryl. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was just calling. I wanted to make a comment. Well, I could comment. I could take up your whole show if you'd let me, but I won't do that. But just talking about the Best Buy store. I was in Best Buy in South County Saturday to buy a computer. I'm a small business owner, and I needed another computer for my office. And I went in there, and I wanted a desktop, and they had like three left. That was it. And I was like, what's up? I mean, they were like, it was like the toilet paper aisle at the grocery store, you know, who knows what's up there.
Yeah.
But the guy explained to me, he said, well, with all these people like you yourself are at home working, everybody rushed out to buy computers, and they were like so busy, they were buying up all their computers, and you couldn't get a computer now, hardly.
Yeah, I have seen some things that are not in the toilet paper or hand sanitizer or Clorox wipe aisle that have sold out. It's strange to see what is considered a necessity in a time like this, and I think a lot of different businesses and are going to be assessing what they have out, the kind of inventory that they push, but so you were in Best Buy in Missouri, correct? You said South County?
Yes, ma'am.
So I was talking a little bit earlier about the Best Buy here in Illinois. Now, Best Buy is, I don't know that, I guess they're considered essential, I guess, but what they decided to do is you can't go in the Best Buy, but they've created a drive-through of sorts that allows you to go have those conversations with the people who are working there, and they will help you with a transaction. Because just like you as a small business owner, people who are trying to figure out, how do I keep my business afloat? If you go buy a $400 or $500 computer right now, and that allows you to continue to do business, that is a necessity. That's absolutely a necessity for our small business owners who can keep people on the payroll if they can continue to do business. So I'm glad that you were able to get a hold of that. And I think, you know, people probably hammering Amazon pretty big right now too. Thank you so much for the call, Daryl. I appreciate you reaching out to us.
All right, you're welcome.
So, stick with us, Daryl. We appreciate you being here. If you want to join the show, 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797. I'd love to hear how you are handling this. Grateful that you were with us as I am broadcasting live from my basement. I believe in the 2 o'clock hour, I'm going to interview my husband. I don't know.
Nice.
Are you okay with that, Katie? It's
totally
not on the schedule. I would tell you
awesome.
You can turn his microphone off, but we're going to have to sit closer than 6 feet apart because we have a microphone and we will share it. But he's a teacher and he is at home. He's a seventh grade teacher and I think he has somewhere close to 170 students total. So he has had to maintain, you know, the kind of e-learning that they're doing there, which they were not nobody was given much heads up. It's not like you had this all planned out, and when you do lesson plans that you do it like, oh, just in case that you're not going to actually be in contact with these kids. So he's managing that, and then he's also managing my three kids who are home. I have a 10-year-old, I have a 7-year-old, and I have a 3-year-old. So he's teaching 4th grade, 2nd grade, and 3-year-old preschool at the same time. So it's quite an adaptation here. And now throw me in the mix, and I'm like, everybody has to be silent for 3 hours. And yeah, fat chance of making that happen.
No,
I don't even know where they are right now. I need to find out where, if they're still here, or maybe they're outside playing. But I haven't heard the dog. I haven't heard the kids. So this has been pretty good.
It's crazy watching your experience at home. And then we have a few other coworkers that this is their first day broadcasting from home as well, like Mark Reardon. And so just watching everyone's videos and living through their experiences, I'm like, this is wild. I don't know if I could do it from home.
You know, isn't it interesting? This goes for a lot of things. You said the phones are, people are calling in here.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll get to these phone calls here as well. But it's interesting to me to see what I am capable of when I don't have a choice. I will say, and I'll add to that, I'm doing an app. It's called Couch to 5K. Have you ever heard of that app? No, you haven't, because it involves running.
I have not.
You have not, of course. Mm-mm. Katie will run if she's being chased.
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah. Or
other
if
than
there's
that,
an incentive, like at the end, like alcohol or a Big Mac or something.
All right, Katie, there's a beer sitting on the street 1 mile away from here, or a Sauvignon Blanc. And when you run a mile this direction, you will be able to drink said glass of wine.
There we go.
So I'm trying. I am not a runner. I am actually, in fact, bad at running. I was a four-sport athlete through high school. And in the midst of being bad at running the entire time, I was still a fairly, you know, maybe slightly above average athlete. Nothing fantastic. My high school career ended my athletic career. But I am doing this Couch to 5K app, and what it does is it incrementally increases the amount that you run compared to how much you walk, and you do it for like somewhere between 28 to 31 minutes or so. And yesterday was my first 20-minute run. And when I saw that that's what it was going to be, I was like, you got to be freaking kidding me. Like, I was actively angry at the app on my phone. And I'm, especially if you're on a treadmill, it just seems virtually impossible. But I thought, if I can't run for 20 minutes, even if it's not fast, you know, like then what am I even doing here? So I run, and if I need to take a break, I'd take a break. But when you get put into a position where you don't have a choice, like when I'm on the treadmill and I'm watching Fox News and my kids are, mom, this, mom, that, you know, I can stop anytime I want. When I can stop, I do stop. When you can't stop, when you got to keep going, you're pretty much capable of, you know, exponentially more than you would expect yourself to be. So let's get to another phone call here. Let's talk to Kara, who is giving us a call here. Kara, thanks for giving us a ring.
Hi. I was noticing the lack of test kits that have been provided in the state of Missouri. Right now, there's, according to the website, there's about 804 test kits that have been processed in St. Louis. In the whole state of Missouri. And for, like, to compare that to, like, Minnesota, they've done 8,200 tests. The next, for instance, Mississippi, they've done, like, 1,200. And Missouri is, we're putting out 800 tests, which is not giving us an adequate or an accurate picture of what is going on with this infection. I don't know what Parson is doing, but I know they're hard to come by, but other states have managed to get, there's states that are comparable in size to Missouri that have done 15,000 tests. How come Parson isn't pursuing this?
It's a good question. And I have been watching the comparison between the state of Illinois and the state of Missouri. I think that there is something to be said positive about both states, but also the great, amazing, you know, vacancy and difference right now between the two states. It's pretty shocking how we could border each other. We can be right next to each other in the middle of the country and do things so incredibly different. I have looked
at how
this, Yeah. And it's not, you know, obviously, if you listen to this show very often, it's not just when we're talking about how we manage the coronavirus. So I'm going to talk to Tim Jones about that when we come back. I'm going to ask him about how he's felt about this, because in some cases, I have felt that Missouri has not done enough. And in some cases, I have felt that Illinois has done too much. So
he hasn't asked for non-essential employees to stay home. So, you know, Michaels and, you know, Hobby Lobby are open. People are elbow to elbow at the Dollar Tree.
Well, Kara, you know, I'll tell you, too, that we have a shelter in place edict from Governor Pritzker here. And Michaels is open in Illinois. I drove past on Sunday. Wow. To see, I just wanted to look and see what it appeared like. What does my town look like in this moment? And there's a sign on Michael's that says, "Yes, we're open." I'm like, "You got to be kidding me!" Man, I was trying to think of what was essential.
Those employees being put at risk, and the nurses too. All these people that are, you know, fighting so hard to try and keep this thing contained, and people are just blowing off these precautions.
Well, Kara, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. Stay tuned, because we're going to speak to Tim Jones here coming up next. I'm going to ask him about how the state of Missouri is handling this. He was the Speaker of the House for the state for some time, and I'll be interested to see what his reaction is to how Missouri is handling it. And again, we're going to speak with Adam Schuster of the Illinois Policy Institute at 2 o'clock. So we will get a quick comparison of the two states and how this is going to financially hurt the state, and what expectations that residents of those states can have going forward. So thank you so much for listening right now. We are going to get to more phone calls throughout the show. Like I said, Tim Jones and Adam Schuster coming up next, back to back. And then I'm going to interview my husband here somewhere along the way. I have a feeling that my kids will probably trickle in when my husband comes on the show, because they won't be able to help themselves. So stick around for that. I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't. But we're broadcasting live here from the Annie Fry basement. Right here, I've spent more time down here today than I have in quite some time. This is where the kids play. So thank you for being with us. Facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. You can watch the show live there. Gracious for every single one of you who has stayed a part of this family as we are figuring out and wading through these uncertain times. We're going to be okay, and we're going to be okay together. So we'll be back with Tim Jones in just a minute. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Annie Fry Show.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
There's one thing I do expect in all of this in terms of the reactions to it. We are living in a country in which people's reactions to nearly everything have something to do, when you drill down, with how they feel about Donald Trump. And to the extent that what the lieutenant governor said on your air last night is similar to, in overall message, to what Donald Trump has been saying, I think some of the reaction to it may flow from that.
So Britt Hume saying what we all know and have been saying for quite some time, that the entire the epicenter of everything political, of everything that people are consuming, it circles around Donald Trump. Donald Trump, people wait and see what Donald Trump does, and then they react. It's been the case since he got the nomination. If Donald Trump makes a statement about something, you know how a large handful of people are just going to react. Let's talk to Tim Jones as he joins the show. I don't know where he is, but
another great night for Donald Trump.
Here we are.
No collusion, no obstruction.
This is Armageddon.
You know, I brought you Outlander.
Brought to you by Arrowhead Building Supply.
Tim Jones joining us now. How are you doing, Tim? Are you well?
Annie, we're doing great here at the Jones compound. I'm at a undisclosed location headquartered in the vast right-wing conspiracy. We're doing just fine. Got me and brother Alex Jones, you know, right next to me here, so, you know.
Oh, Lord.
No, Annie, I'm in my basement, too. Basement to basement.
That's right.
We finished our basement like 3 or 4 years ago, and little did we know how brilliant that would be. Not just to watch Outlander in, but to actually work from for the foreseeable future. And I'm down here like you. I've got a couple televisions on. I've got the internet going, trying to keep up to date on everything. Annie, I was very blessed to be on a national conference call this morning with my very good friend Grover Norquist, who runs a big meeting every week in D.C., which usually you can't go to unless you're there live. Well, they're having to be flexible as well, and so they video conferenced all of us in. I was on the line with several hundred people like me all across the country in all the different states. We got a full briefing from the House, the Senate, and the White House Republican staffers, and they're very pleased with the work that the Senate Republicans and Democrats did last night together in the wee hours. I know you were working
nice
on your
to hear.
Your office all night long. You were probably watching some of that. And and Annie, I'm happy to report that, just like DeRoy mentioned earlier, none of the crap, none of the social justice warrior agenda is in this bill. They stripped out all the Green New Deal stuff, all the baloney you've been talking about, as well they should, because Mitch McConnell wrapped up his remarks about an hour or two ago, and he said, this is not a stimulus bill. This is a emergency relief plan for all of America to keep their small businesses going. We're doing everything we can over here in Eureka, taking turns visiting our little eateries. You know, I hit Super Smokers the other day and Joe Bacardi's last night, and we're doing all we can because, Annie, we should be in this together, like you've been talking about.
Yeah, for sure. We're speaking with Tim Jones here, host of The Tim Jones Show, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. Have you combed through the propositions in this bill? Is the bill even completed yet, or are they still actually putting it ink on paper?
So they may be doing some technical, what we call technical corrections. Be careful when a legislator, Annie, says they're doing technical corrections. But
is that when we panic?
Yeah, that's when we panic. I think the majority of the bill is done, and so there's some big buckets. And I know you've talked with some of your other guests about it, but I can sum it up very quickly. There's 4 to 5 big buckets. Direct cash payments. Individuals making up to $75,000 a year would get $1,200. Couples up to $150,000 a year would get $2,400, with $500 per child. So it tops out at $150,000 of dual income.
Okay.
Number two, expanded unemployment insurance, probably one of the biggest keys in the bill. I believe that's been expanded to 4 months. Okay, that was a little sticking point, 3 months or 4 months. They went ahead and said, okay, fine, let's do 4 months. We have no idea when we're out of the woods on this. We hope it's soon, but let's do 4 months just to be safe. Small business support. Well, I just said unemployment was the most important. Now maybe small business. Maybe I'm changing my mind, because, Annie, those are the people that employ the employees, right? And small businesses, you know, as much as the Democrats were wailing a couple days ago about corporate bailouts and all that baloney, that was absolutely not true. The market punished them when they started quibbling. Americans started calling D.C. from what I've heard. They flooded the Capitol Hill switchboards, and said, this is not a bailout for big corporations. We're talking about small businesses. Please help us. We're on life support. They're going to get over $350 billion. It's going to be a combination of loans and grants. So depending on what you do, for instance, if you're a small business and you do your bestest to retain all your employees, you're going to get a grant, which means you're not going to have to pay it back. Now, if you go ahead and lay everybody off and put them on unemployment, it's going to be a loan that you're going to have to pay back. So businesses are going to have to look at the fine points here. Assistance for corporations. Yes, we are going to help out some of our largest corporations, like the airlines, because if we don't, they're all going to go belly up. And when we're out of the woods on this, we're not going to be able to go anywhere. And commerce is going to be destroyed. And I don't understand, Annie, the far left sentiments on this, that we should all just hide in our homes, shut everything down, don't help a single business in this country, and have government somehow magically solve this problem. This is going to be a public-private partnership that's going to bring us out of these woods, and we better keep our small and large businesses going as well we can, so when we can come out of this, we'll be better. And look who's responded. The smart folks on Wall Street, you can demonize them all you want, but they're smart people who trust me, Wall Street's full of plenty of Republicans and plenty of Democrats, and they have responded with joy over the last 2 days, a total upswing of the market of over 3,000 points that tells you you're moving in the right area. Heard you talking about the state of Missouri, Annie. I've got some info on that, too, if you'd like.
Yeah, that's my next question. I was just going to ask you, I'm watching from literally now from the state of Illinois, and there is a huge stark contrast in the way the states are handling this. And, you know, I'm asking myself, is Parson doing enough?
Yeah, Annie, I would say he is. And let's look at the two different states. They do share a lot of commonality in the sense that despite, you know, we have the big mass known as Chicagoland, a lot of Illinois, just like a lot of Missouri, is very rural. You know, Annie, it's really easy to socially distance yourself in most of Illinois, as in most of Missouri, because despite the fact we do have some large urban areas, get out a map, folks. You're all sitting at home right now. You probably all have your computers on, or go to the old-fashioned map books you probably have lying around. And yes, we do have large cities, but how much space do they actually occupy of the geography of our states? Missouri is the 10th largest state by geography in our country. It's a huge state. And yes, we have a few big cities, Kansas City, St. Louis, Springfield, Columbia. But if you look at that, they occupy, in reality, very small pieces of ground when you look at the rest of the state. A lot of our state is the breadbasket of the country. You know, Annie, I'm a little rusty on the stats. Senators Blunt, Hawley, or Congresswoman Wagner could give you the updated stats on that. But we lead the nation. We're in the top 10 of beef production, soybean production, rice production, wheat, corn. You go down the list, pork. And we need to keep those people working. And it's really easy to socially distance yourself when you're on a farm of several thousand acres. I can tell you, having come from a family that has farming roots. And so to do a massive statewide lockdown order would be absolutely the height of irresponsibility. So I credit Governor Parson for everything he's doing. If folks want to get updates like I'm getting every day, you can get these two. They're available for everybody. Go to ParsonUpdates.com. ParsonUpdates.com. You can check everything out, everything from education to social services to senior services to what the fight is on COVID-19 itself, and you can get all the information you want. There's plenty of reading material on that. I think what the governor is doing is sort of a analogy to what President Trump is doing. President Trump is saying, I'm not going to be so arrogant that I can presume that I know that what's best for New York or Washington, D.C. or Los Angeles, you know, in those big states of New York and California and in the district there, are the same as what somebody in Montana or South Dakota or Iowa or Missouri would want. So I'm going to leave it up to the governors. if the governors need something, they need to let me know, and I will respond to that, just like Governor Parson's doing. Governor Parson's not saying, I'm going to presume that I know that what's best for St. Louis and Kansas City is what's best for Adair County in the middle of the state. So he's leaving it up to the county commissioners, the mayors, the leaders of these local jurisdictions to contact him, and it's supposed to be a partnership, and I think he's doing a great job.
Let me ask you this question. I've only got about a minute left. So somebody requested this question on our Facebook chat. We're streaming live at facebook.com/AnnieFryShow. Your reaction to the senators from both sides of the aisles that sold stock in January, a lot of people raising their eyebrows, and rightfully so, regarding the senators who did this, and it's not a good look at all.
Yeah, Annie, I think it should be looked at. I'm not going to presume they did anything improper unless I have the facts. Because look, if you were paying attention to the news, and trust me, if you're in the legislative business, you're hyper paying attention to the news like we do every single day. You probably saw what was going on across the ocean in these countries where things were just plummeting, and so you may have just reacted off of publicly available material, which is not a crime. Anything in the public domain that you act upon is not a crime. It's only when you have, quote, insider information due to your position as a legislator that you can get in trouble. So I think people need to, and I'm not going to blame Republicans or Democrats because I understand people of both parties did this, but before we automatically presume and knee-jerk, I think you got to know the facts first. However, though, I would put battling this disease and preserving this economy above all those concerns. Those should be our priorities right now.
All right. Well, Tim Jones will be tuned in Sunday night, 7 to 9 p.m. for the Tim Jones Show right here on 97.1 FM Talk. Thank you so much for the time. Enjoy your basement, and I will do my best to stay live on the air here from mine. Great to talk to you, Tim.
Annie, you gave me a lot of hope today. You've done a great job. I'm probably going to have to do the same thing on Sunday, so I'm glad you experimented for all of us. Thank you so much.
Yep. We will be tuned in. Thank you, Tim. If you are in your basement right now, or if you're in your house and you're wishing you had a finished basement, may I suggest Lakeside Renovation and Design. They finish basements. They are still up and running. LakesideRenovationAndDesign.com for sure. Reach out to them. They're doing free estimates and everything as well. They are a sponsor of the show. And right now, while everybody is bracing themselves, I'm talking to the people who make this show possible, and a lot of them still open for business, so you can reach out to them. We'll be right back with Adam Schuster.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.